the seasons of my youth, and I recall.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We're in hour three, and I'm so excited because this hour we are joined for the full hour by mom, service industry worker, community organizer, fellow Madison West regent, my friend, representative of Wisconsin's 76th Assembly District, Francesca Hong. How are you doing today?
I am maintaining.
Really
pumped up by that Dolly Parton, though, so I'm feeling better. Thanks so much for having me, and hi, Jane.
I have so much, I don't know where to start. So for people who don't know Representative Francesca Hong, she is finishing up her freshman term. She was part of the very excellent freshman class of strong women who spent the last 2 years fighting in a minority legislature, but the amount that I feel like you guys, the attention you brought to different issues, how public and how outspoken you were on social media, I feel like you did everything that you could, at least from the spectator seats where I was sitting. I was impressed with how much I feel like you made your voice heard in a legislature that often doesn't even let you have a hearing on some of the things that you're trying to pass. So at least to start with, how would you sum up your first 2 years in the legislature?
Absurd.
Okay.
It's the first word that comes to mind. And thank you so much for shouting out our freshman class. It is going to be difficult for folks coming up to top the collective work that we've done, the solidarity that we've built, and really, I think, an understanding that the legislature is most powerful when we have strong relationships and trust with one another. And I think the freshmen really tried to reinforce that. And I really appreciated how diverse the class was. We had folks from suburban areas, folks from rural areas. We had the most diverse class racially and ethnically, the first immigrant representative, the first Asian representative, yours truly. And so I think the freshman class was really an embodiment of what the legislature can be like and should be like in terms when we have a government that is actually a force of good. In describing the last 2 years, I think I'm still feeling a little bit like we're drinking from a fire hose, which is the term that I use when folks ask me how I felt after the first couple of months. But we're still trying to build power. We're still trying to regain the majority and fighting to maintain the governor's veto.
Yeah, and those are all important. And I want to focus mostly on stuff that's happened the last 2 years, because since we have you for the full hour, I want to definitely talk later in the show about all the campaigning that you're doing, despite being in, I think you'd be the first to admit, a pretty safe district as far as where you are. But that doesn't mean that you're not working your butt off for other campaigns, other districts. And so in the 2 years, what do you feel like were some of the big wins from your perspective?
I think in terms of better cohesive messaging, we have made huge improvements. So when it comes to abortion, you know, everyone fighting for this right to and access to healthcare, that abortion is healthcare, that the word we need to use more of, and then have that be kind of our gateway into more complex conversations about how the issue of abortion impacts everyone. I think we had some major wins when it comes to ensuring that we all show up for these special sessions that our Republican counterparts continue to gavel in and out of, or like today's session where they just read off a script and didn't even bring a gavel.
They didn't even bring a gavel?
The Senate president did. So Kapenga brought a gavel, but Tyler August, the speaker pro tempore, did not bring a gavel. He read off his script.
Do you think he forgot it?
I think that they were trying to be sly and say they didn't technically gavel in and out since he didn't have a gavel. But it was abhorrent and it's cowardly that they won't even debate the issue of healthcare for so many Wisconsinites. The fact that they are unwilling to debate is a signal that they know they are on the losing side of this issue that impacts everyone.
Fran, I'm curious, Are they required to be there in person for these special sessions? Does everyone have to show up, or can just two people show up and gavel in and gavel out?
I saw quite a few of my Republican colleagues, including Representative Rantham, but they were not on the floor. It was just the it was just Tyler August and one other member, and they are not required to all be there. No, but we can only gavel in. We can only the majority party can call the session.
So, I think we hear so much. What makes the headlines so often is how toxic the Capitol can be, the partisanship, the we'd spend an entire, almost if I think like the, almost the whole hour prior to this talking about no matter what the other side does, so often we're like, well, we call it a political stunt, even if it's kind of advocating or doing what we said we wanted. I was using the example of Governor Tony Evers' proposal yesterday as far as increasing shared revenue, a lot of which would go to police, fire, emergency services. And yet the response was, well, this is just a political stunt, even though this is what we are campaigning on, which is funding the police. And is there any examples in the 2 years of where you felt like there was some kind of bipartisanship or there was some kind of coalition building across the aisle?
Well, we had the win with Lincoln Hills and closing Lincoln Hills. And so I think when it came to juvenile justice and making sure that our babies weren't in cages, we were able to come together and get this done. And mad kudos to Representative Goyke, who has been working on this for close to a decade with Representative Shraw. And so to end the session, and I should have mentioned this in one of our wins, I think it was a big win that we came together and we came to a vote to close Lincoln Hills for good. And, you know, there are going to be different ways that different representatives can message this as a win, as a way forward, as an opportunity to really reevaluate the criminal justice system, especially when it comes to our youths and why we need bigger investments. I can almost guarantee that those investments won't come from the opposition party because, again, we are sitting on a $5 billion surplus right now. However, that piece of legislation, to know that like there is, it is inhumane what was happening in Lincoln Hills, and even the closing of it has its complexities, but we are able to now have those conversations and leverage the point that it was a bipartisan win to move it forward.
Well, that's good. And I think that's actually a story that we haven't talked a lot about, and maybe we should give it more attention to and to that it deserves as far as what a big deal it was with that's closing and what replacements and options are coming out of that. But so as far as we're talking to Francesca Hong, who's a representative of Wisconsin's 76th Assembly District. She's here all hour. And one of the things I find for both for you, because you, your district is in Madison and the Capitol is obviously in Madison. And so largely you as a representative of Madison wouldn't it's not expected of you to go all across the state in the way that you have. But there's actually a part on your website that I think it is Fran across the state or Hong around Wisconsin. And so
hashtag Hong around Wisconsin.
And truly, you look at this map and there's your picture with your Rosie the Riveter head handkerchief in your hair. And you've gone all over the state. And so what was the big motivation for you to make sure that despite these different parts of the state not being people who are ever going to vote for you, at least as long as you're in the assembly, that you got out there and saw so much of Wisconsin?
I think you'll see in the headlines, and a lot of the narrative is scapegoating Madison and Milwaukee as we are hoarding resources, as we are out of touch. And what I'm able to gain and show from these visits and really building community and coalition with people all across Wisconsin is that most of us want the same things. Most of us want to see our communities invested in so that we can be and feel safer. We want our main streets to thrive. We want entrepreneurship and young people to do well in school so they continue to invest in communities. And so as a lifelong Madisonian, as a firm believer in public schools, as a service industry worker, you know, as a mother, I have all these different identities that I am incredibly proud of. And I know there are so many other people in Wisconsin that are proud of their identities too. And if me as a Madison rep can go to places like Hammond or Stevens Point, Superior, and connect with voters, and I don't go and say that I'm a rep, right? I go and say I'm a mom who cares. I work in restaurants. I'm a small business owner. Because I hold these identities, I feel extra responsible to make sure that we're making connections across the state and really have the receipts to prove to folks that so many of us want the same things and our current government is not representative of what the majority of Wisconsinites want. So if I can come back with a conversation and know, and they know that someone from Madison is up caring about them, right? That it's not just all rosy here in Madison, that we have our issues too. And it's not, it's, and a lot of people don't know how state government works. They may not know who their representative is or their state senator is. They don't know that because we're sitting on $5 billion in the state coffers that, you know, their public schools aren't being funded and they're having to go to referendum all the time. So it's both a conversation, it's about educating one another, but also approaching it in a way that is not elitist, that I am the candidate or representative coming to you. I am someone from Madison who also cares about what's going on in your community. And I think that it's really important that we humanize and make personal politics again. And I also have to point out that many of my colleagues in the Assembly Dems and in the State Senate are traveling as well, and they're canvassing and they're talking to voters, and they're really making it about advocating for our candidates, right? It's sometimes because the Democratic brand itself has become so toxic in certain areas of the state, to be able to make it personal and humanize it and say, as a mom, as a restaurant worker, as someone who cares, I'm coming to you from a different part of the state saying we need change and we can do it together.
Well, when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about maybe some of the things that you learned or surprising parts of the state that you didn't know, because I also was a Madison kid. And so certainly I, as crossing the state, there's great parts of the state I didn't even know that were there in stories. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about healthy school meals. And you're here for the whole hour, so stay tuned. Francesca Hong here, and this is As Goes Wisconsin.
In every stitch, I even told him all that story. Mama told me while she sewed, and why my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest all hour is Francesca Hong, who is the representative of Wisconsin's 76th Assembly District. And before the break, we were talking about how many different parts of the state you have visited and how many different constituents you've talked to that aren't necessarily in your district. But what are some of the surprising things you've learned about the state since getting out of Madison?
Well, I probably had my, like, the best bowl of noodles I've had in Stevens Point.
Ooh.
There is a Vietnamese grocery store in Stevens Point, and one of my favorite Vietnamese dishes is called bún, which is the cold noodle dish with lots of vegetables and a sweet and sour sauce. And normally it comes with like an egg roll and grilled shrimp or pork or whatever. And they had head-on, full prawns. The sauce was delicious. And I always tell folks, like, when there's a restaurant inside the grocery store, that's the restaurant you want to go to.
Oh, I didn't know that. Inside tip. All right. That's the grocery store. All right. So when there's a grocery store with a restaurant, the food's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In Madison, some of the best ethnic food is inside our ethnic grocery stores. And then in Superior, there's a pizza spot. I'm blanking on the name. I tweeted about it earlier, but I probably have the best tres leches cake I've had in the state of Wisconsin up in Superior.
All right. I've yet to go to Superior, so I'll put that on the list.
Isn't it beautiful, Fran? Superior is, it's so cool.
It's stunning. And, you know, their main street is beautiful. And I think I talked to a lot of folks who are super passionate about their public schools. People who, in Superior's where I recognize the power of local candidates. We had a woman who we asked her what she cared about. And she was like, I'm very, I'm anti-abortion. I am for the Second Amendment. And then the minute we started talking about how, you know, the candidate I was with, the current candidate had asked her to run, that she's from the community. Her boys go to their public school. She talked about the sports teams. Before I knew it, we're in her living room. I'm petting her cat, even though I'm allergic, because this cat is super cute. And, you know, this connection to know, like knowing that your representative, your possible future representative is at your door. It's powerful. And I think that even if we maybe hadn't changed her mind about voting for all Dems, in that moment, I knew that knowing that someone in her community cared and had, you know, wanted to be at her door talking to her, was a way for her to rethink about maybe voting for other Dems too. But in that moment, I could feel that she was going to vote for Laura. And that's where, you know, Superior, Hammond, wherever, when people show up, when Democrats show up, when we have conversations centering the people that we're talking to, we have a chance.
So I want to talk, I want to segue into the campaign, but we have only 6 minutes right now. And so I want to at least talk about and touch on, because we've talked to Representative Christina Shelton about this part before, but can't get enough press. And so one of the big things you're working on right now is securing healthy school meals for all, because it was something that was introduced during the pandemic and it was wildly popular and very successful. And so talk a little bit more about what we need to do to secure feeding our kids at school.
So feeding our kids, feeding our future, investing in our kids right now and their health and their well-being. There's a way to do it. And here's the thing, we did it. Mm-hmm. Right? We were able to feed all kids during the pandemic, and those federal waivers helped schools and families and our communities so much. And then come June, the waivers were lifted and we're back to classifying kids based on income and on when they can receive a meal, restigmatizing and lunch shaming for folks who have lunch debt. I want folks to know that a healthy school meal is just as important as a textbook or a pencil. It is the way when kids are full, when they are ready to learn, they're less likely to have behavioral challenges. And there's ways to build community around school meals. You talk about the concept of farm to school. And right now we have massive supply chain shortages. What an opportunity this could be to really reinvigorate the economic side of this and build new partnerships with local food companies and local farmers and people who are investing in food. We should have every single kid in the state of Wisconsin get Wisconsin milk. That is not the case right now. And I think, as well as complicated as this issue is we need, you know, federal action, state action, and local action. The fact that we were able to feed all kids in schools and now we're taking that away is unacceptable. And so with the Healthy School Meals for All Coalition, we really are, you know, focusing on the health of our kids, as well as understanding in order to do this, we have to reevaluate the value of our food service workers. And when we have worker justice and higher wages for our food service workers, and we take away that stigma about who is serving our kids, knowing that the people who are serving our kids, who are most likely women and Black and brown women, are closest to our kids as well. They're helping to share a meal with them. And so if we invested in them and made this a career, the likelihood that they'll be able to have less turnover and build stronger relationship with our kids and make sure our kids feel safe and happy and want to continue to learn, all of that can be done through an investment in their school meal system. And I think, again, the biggest point I want to hit home here is that we were able to do this. We had the political will and courage. Yes, it took a pandemic, but we could feed all kids. And right now, it's an upheaval of administrative hurdles with kids having to fill out complicated applications with social security numbers. All of this should not be what we burden our administrators and our families with. We should be feeding all kids. It should be a bipartisan agreement. And I think next session, Rep. Shelton and I, the first thing we're going to do is reintroduce the Healthy School Meals for All bill.
I'm guessing it's not bipartisan at the moment.
Not a single Republican signed on last session.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take another break. And Francesca Hong will still be here when we come back, because we're going to talk about looking forward and the campaigns that she's been helping out on and the stories and conversations she's having. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If you don't, you'll be alone. And like a ghost, I'll be gone.
All the single ladies, 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 all the single ladies. Now put your hands up.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this hour is Francesca Hong, who is the Assembly Representative for District 76, and that is in Madison. And because of our even more gerrymandered maps than we had for the last 10 years, at least for the time being, for the next 10 years, our maps are still very safe. Many safe districts. Yours being one of them. Madison, obviously, is a big blue dot. Milwaukee is another big blue dot. And there is very few competitive districts, either on the Senate side or the Assembly side. And so a different person than you might just sail into their next term, knowing that you didn't have anyone who primaried you and that you would just be able to show up for next year. But that is not the case. You are out there doing a lot for a lot of different campaigns. And so what I think a lot of those people we've actually had on the show so far as trying to get more down ballot people who are running in purple districts where every vote's going to count. And so what is campaigning for other people been like?
It's a lot easier for me to talk about other people than myself. So that's
funny how that works.
Yeah. And we've got so many phenomenal women running for office. And again, want to reiterate that so many Assembly Democrats and senators are doing their part to help go out and canvass for our candidates. But again, specifically the women who are running, and I want to point out two races that I am paying really close attention to and would like other people to invest in as well. And that is for folks to join the flock, because Bird is the word, with Lou Ann Bird in the 82nd, who's running against an old-timey Donovan, who really, again, I don't understand why he continues to run for office. However, she is running a strong grassroots campaign and building a coalition that is multi-generational and multi-ethnic and really having a lot of fun. And I want folks to like remember that politics can be fun and joyful, and that's what's going to help us connect with people. And that's what I think of when I think of Lou Ann Bird, who also happens to have immense experience in working in her local government. So she has strong policy backgrounds, especially when it comes to championing public schools. She is one of the strongest advocates for disability rights and also caregivers and elders and elder care, as someone who is a caregiver herself. And then she will literally call me up with saying, Bird is the word, and we'll just have a conversation about her grands and my kids. That's someone I want in office, that's someone I can laugh with, but also have very serious conversations about when it comes to our lack of care infrastructure in this state. So Bird is the word, Lou Ann Bird for the 82nd. I am so excited for her, and I can't wait to see her beat Bob Donovan.
We had her on. She is a delight.
Absolutely.
Just a delight. Lovely. I just want to spend time with her.
She'll be at Boone Crockett, y'all, on the 20th, and I hope I will be there as well. And then, yeah, I think campaigning for other people, it's really, again, we talk about teamwork all the time in the caucus, and it is something that is really difficult to strengthen when everyone does have to kind of fight for scraps, right? When you're in the minority party in terms of capturing media attention, or it gets harder and harder to make sure that you've got a slice for yourself and you're seeing a bigger part of the pie. And I think when you're campaigning for others, it is teamwork in action. And the Assembly Democrats are working with our amazing staff so hard to make sure that people understand that these local candidates are who is going to help strengthen and build a stronger Democratic coalition here in our state. And so the other candidate I want to point out is the phenomenal Laura Gapsby, who's running for the 74th up in Superior. And Laura is born and raised in the Superior area. She is a fighting single mom who constantly advocates for folks who may not have opportunities to advocate for themselves. So whether it be people who are suffering from a domestic abuse or children who are in unsafe homes, I think, you know, Laura, her entire being is around service. And she's also hella fun. And recently did a comedy show with Mary Mack up in the district. And unfortunately, there were the incidents of threats, and I think another part of campaigning with other people, I'm recognizing that in these purple areas, you know, people who are running in redder districts. In particular, are facing danger a lot. I know Devon Draka and even Sarah Rodriguez in the suburbs of Milwaukee would get threats to themselves and their families all the time. And it's happening a lot to women. And I think that the fact that the opposition is using fear as a tactic to attack candidates and attacking their families is not only cowardly, but it's un-American. And we need to continue to bring light to this issue that it's never okay for someone who is fighting for the betterment of all communities, regardless of your party affiliation, is being threatened and their family being threatened as well. And so that's a reality that I've seen campaigning with other candidates in tougher districts that you don't really hear about as much here, but it does happen everywhere, and it specifically is happening to women.
We're talking to Representative Francesca Hong, and it's interesting that you bring that up because it was something I flagged to talk about at some point for the show, because both saw headlines this week, both from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but also Susan Collins, and the amount of death threats that they, Ilhan Omar, Nancy Pelosi, that the amount of violence targeted towards them, or threats of violence targeted towards them, and that is on a very obviously national scale. But then on a very local scale here, it is the same thing. And what's shocking to me is because I do think women get it worse, even as a not politician. And I will say I've been fairly lucky, but I know women commentators, women content creators, you know, just being a woman who puts themselves out there often elicits very negative, ugly comments. And yet, it's like in such gerrymandered districts where, you know, the odds are really stacked against you. It just seems like women are stepping up to run. And I haven't gone down the entire Ballotpedia docket as far as everyone who's running as a challenger and not an incumbent in these districts that are more likely like multiple points ahead for Republicans, but it's predominantly women who are stepping up to say, I'll run. And, you know, this is a very female-centric show. We're one of the very few talk radio shows in Wisconsin that have ladies at the helm. It's a very male-dominated situation. But it's just, of course, I think it makes sense to us why it's so many women, because we know women, we love women, and they get things done. But does it surprise you at all, as far as, at least on the Democratic side, how many women are the ones who step up, even knowing that the odds are stacked against them?
I think it really reinforces the fact that we are much better multitaskers than our male counterparts, and we will forever be the better multitaskers. And you cannot do this job without multitasking, as well as having a thick skin. I think it's wild that so often women are accused of being emotional or quick to react when we have seen the absolute harm that when male politicians or men in power pout or bully, they are never called out for it. When they are emotional, it is accepted. And so the fact that while wearing so many hats and encompassing so many identities, we continue to do it with grace and poise, which is often stifling. It doesn't surprise me that women are stepping up to run because they feel compelled to care. And they know that if we do not care about one another, we will not survive. And I think it's still hard for folks to really accept and embody that. And so women care. And it's clear in how they've stepped up to run for office. I'm not saying all women care, and all women who are running for office right now are caring of their communities. But I will say that, you know, regardless of where you are ideologically, it is incredibly unfair that we are not allowed to be our most authentic selves, yet we still choose to do some of the most and choose to be in the most difficult roles, including running for office.
I just, it makes me so angry. It makes me so very angry. Back in the day when I started in radio, we had obscene phone callers. Hmm. That was something I could deal with firsthand, take care of it. I had a list of comebacks, depending upon what disgusting thing they would say to me, for any occasion. And now all of those people have become these keyboard warriors, and I don't hear any men calling out other men for this behavior, and that drives me crazy.
Oh, it is infuriating. And then they have the audacity to be like, well, how can we help? The fact that we have to insert and be and you know, have exert more emotional labor to then direct and give direct men on what they can do to be more supportive of women and our allies is in itself absurd. And although the Democratic caucus right now is majority women, when I said my tenure so far has been absurd in the legislature, I will say those in power right now are currently men. And it's concerning that they don't see the threats that come to women, especially women in power, as a threat to them, too.
Well, I might get in trouble for saying this, but it's such a stark difference when you look at the breakdown of the Wisconsin legislature. And except for a couple women, it is all mediocre looking white guys and like somewhere between middle-aged and old, and it's just like just looking at their pictures is like sheesh. And I mean,
mediocre,
I'm gonna
overstate.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice. As the I'm trying to have smarter humor than attacking what people look like, no matter what or how much they potentially deserve it. I got in trouble when I made fun of Trigg's balding mullet, and so I've stopped talking about that. And so anyways, but look at what happened in the Republican primary for governor. The misogyny runs so deep on that side that and I don't agree with her on almost anything, but no one was working harder in that than Rebecca Clayfish. She worked for almost four years. As soon as Governor Evers took office, she was running for governor, and she was so prepared. She worked so hard, and yet that wasn't enough. And people on that side of the party at the last minute threw up a man who, I don't think he has any business running for governor. I don't think, from what I can see, I don't think he understands how the government works. I think he thinks it's a top-down military business thing, and it's not. And yet they were more comfortable with him than with a woman. And it just is so telling.
Yeah, that they can be as sexist as they are racist. but that is the majority of people who are Trump Republicans in that party. And it is what fuels them. It is what they think gives them power, and it is what perpetuates their hateful rhetoric. And I think Clayfish felt that, and I think she recognized it.
And we'll see. I mean, she's young enough that it'll be interesting to see if she comes back and runs for something else. But I it was hard for me to imagine to feel that kind of targeted or lack of support, despite carrying the party line as hard as she does, and still coming up and saying, still a Republican, still running under this banner. But I don't know. Do you know the ideology? Ideologues will be ideologuing. And so, all right, we're going to take our last break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something a little lighter, a specific food product that Francesca Hong has very strong feelings about. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Then get back to business.
Hot dish, gonna set my heart at ease, gonna make a
welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Fry. Francesca Hogg is our guest, and she's very impressed that Jane Metnair found that you, Fred, I know you're very busy these days, so you don't have a lot of time to listen to a 3-hour radio show, but the songs that Jane finds to as our bumper music, and how topical they are and how random they are, really sparks so much joy in my day every day.
I am so impressed right now. I mean, Jane, I've been a fan, but like, That's some next level.
You were the one who inspired me, friend, with your love of tater tots, and all I need is one thing like that, and I will find it, man. It's my mission.
All right, so we are going to talk about tater tots, but quickly, I know you want to talk quickly because you're doing a lot for Mandela Barnes' campaign as well.
Yeah, I wanted to uplift that a video was unearthed today of Ron Johnson at the Rotary Club downplaying and saying calling January 6th an insurrection was inaccurate. And I want to make sure folks know that, like, this has been Ron Johnson's position on this for well over a year now, but to see it on video hits different. And so it is beyond dangerous to have him, one, as a senator, and two, representing Wisconsin. I think the threat to democracy is Ron Johnson as a senator, and as Mandela Barnes is continuing his Ron on Roe campaign, and really being an ally in talking about abortion access, because we really don't have enough, going back to when we were talking about, you know, men standing up for women and calling things out, we do need more men to talk about abortion in a very personal and a very real way. And one of the things that I really, you know, appreciate about Mandela is that he is sharing the story with his mom about her abortion, and he is talking about how this is for everyone. And regardless of where you are on the issue, and there are many different ways to stand on it, I guess, someone you love will need an abortion someday. And he is an embodiment of that. And I think it's really important to know that we as Wisconsinites deserve someone who shares our values and is willing to share those difficult stories and lived experiences so that we can feel more connected to our politicians.
We actually have the clip.
This is Ron Johnson from earlier today.
Would you have made those exact comments if the protesters had been supporting Black Lives Matter movement or seeking to disrupt the Senate vote to put President Trump?
Well, first of all, there weren't thousands of armed insurrections. I asked the question of the FBI agent at the hearing on this. I said, how many firearms were confiscated either in the Capitol or on Capitol grounds? I don't know the answer. For all I know, it's going to be 1,000. No, zero. Zero. Now, the summer protesters did teach us all how you can use flagpoles, that kind of stuff, as weapons. But to call what happened on January 6th an armed insurrection, I just think is not accurate. You saw the pictures inside the Capitol. I saw them that day. The armed insurrectionists staying within the rope lines in the rotunda.
Reflecting fair response.
They stayed in the rope lines at the rotunda.
Did they?
He is delusional.
Did they?
He is a liar, and he has absolutely no business representing anyone, let alone Wisconsinites. And the fact that there are, I got death threats for calling him delusional scum, and he is literally out here downplaying a time where lives were lost, where officers died, and people's lives were threatened, and folks are still.
Oh, did we lose you for a second?
It's
we got you back. I agree. I have to say, I agree that the fact that he's still on this train of downplaying it when we all have seen the pictures and we've heard the testimony is something. But we only have 4 minutes left in the show. And so I do want to end on a higher note, because one of the things that I do appreciate about Francesca Hong is that she is a foodie. She owns a restaurant. And she has very strong feelings about tater tots and how they should be presented. Take it away.
I love tater tots. I've loved tater tots since the first time I've had them in school. I've loved them on hot dish. I will take tater tots over what one time I saw hot dog buns on top of a hot dish as opposed to tater tots, which that's a whole nother thing. So I don't want people messing with tater tots. It should be a russet potato, low seasoning. A Rida does a great job. And when chefs in particular try to recreate a tater tot, it highly offensive to me. It's one of the few things that I enjoy with just straight up ketchup. If you're out here making your own ketchup and your own tater tots and something comes out soggy, something comes out spicy, this is one of those truly amazing things when I see people mess with this and fail so miserably and then go out there and call themselves a gastropub or some whack thing like that. Tater tots are beautiful on their own, should be served straight up, ketchup maybe, that's it, and I don't want to see anything else.
Only Francesca Hong could bring the same passion to Ron Johnson denying how intense the January 6th was that she does to being a tater tot purist. This is how you live your life, passionately.
Yeah, I mean, if folks want to check out my last tweet on who I think Ron Johnson is, there's an adjective I use, but I think that when it comes to tater tots, there are certain, especially when they can go from frozen to fry, like that's their beauty. It's the science of going from frozen to fry. And I just, when I see that science imbalance, when I see folks like stacking them up and put, I just know they're called tots for a reason. You serve them up with ketchup. Anything else should be in the garbage.
Air fryer, is that an issue, Fran? Because I do air fry my tots.
Air fryer is fine. I think for me, it's this. It's like folks who season them. Like I've seen ranch seasoning go into tater tots. It's folks, they're really difficult to make from scratch, right? And because you have to air out, you have to dry out the potatoes fully. And so it's ketchup and tater tots are two things that, like, I don't need to see chefs trying to recreate. Like, the only memory that's going to evoke for me is you know, one of pure hatred. And when I learned that Ron Johnson was, you know, a delusional election denying scumbag.
Mic drop. And on that note, Francesca Hong, thank you so much for spending time with us today. Is there anything or anywhere you would like to direct our audience to go check out, or any websites or social media?
Yeah, please check out the Healthy School Meals for All Coalition. It's healthyschoolmealsforallwi.org, healthyschoolmealsforallwi.org. Our Healthy School Meals Coalition is growing strong, over 75 members, everyone from Wisconsin churches to school boards up in northern and central Wisconsin. We are absolutely hell-bent on making sure our kids are fed.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today. Good luck on the campaign trail. I will see you soon, probably at Luann Bird's event. And that'll do it for today. We got 10 seconds left. This is As Goes Wisconsin. See you tomorrow.
Caviar and truffles. I tasted saffron and fubu too. But nothing beats a tater tot hot dish, except for maybe a tater tot stew.